John chapter 19, verse 17 and 18, consider this with me. And he, speaking of Christ, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull. Underline that in your thinking. Which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where he was crucified, or they crucified him, the two and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus is in the center. Isn't it interesting that the one who gave everything for you and I is crucified at a place called the place of a skull? I mean, the place of the skull. That should resonate in your spirit. Just give it thought for the next few moments, because we're talking about a mind set free today. Jesus really wants you to experience freedom and life. He wants that more than you want it. And everybody here, I know, boy, I want to be free. I want to be totally free. Well, I mean, we live in the United States of America, amen, with that wonderful document that, you know, from our lens as people in the earth, kind of helps us enjoy a freedom that other countries don't enjoy. But God has a freedom greater than that, amen, as sons and daughters in his kingdom. But Satan took humanity captive by feeding humanity the knowledge of good and evil. Mankind did not go into bondage being held captive with guns and bombs and threats. That's not how humanity come into captivity. Adam was taken to captivity with a lie. Did God actually say? And that question manipulated him to consider that, is it possible that God didn't say this? And so before Satan can defeat you, remember this, before he can take you down, he has to disarm you first. It's the only way he can defeat anyone in this room. He wants us to question the most important commodity God has given us, his word to each of us through his personal voice to us. Amen. And Adam walked with the voice of God in the cool of the day. It's in your DNA. It's how you've been designed. It's the same passion that God had for humanity when he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him and made him a living soul. It was important for that soul, amen, to have fellowship with God, right? And so if you find it difficult hearing the voice of God, the one who loves you the most, it's primarily because you are satisfied with your ideas and your understanding of what you perceive to be good and evil. I need that to resonate in your spirit. If you're even questioning whether God speaks or not to humanity, let me encourage you. It's because you're satisfied with your idea or your judgment on how you measure good versus evil. And you need to be set free today. Amen? Because God is still talking to humanity. And if we're the sheep of his pasture, we're the sheep of his pasture because we hear his voice. He knows us and we follow him. Amen? Do not be satisfied with the idea that you can hear a Bible study given by Pastor Lowe. If you don't hear Daddy confirming and speaking to your spirit, you're missing out on the fun. Amen? And so Jesus came to set our minds free. John 8:32 give you valid evidence here. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Freedom comes from a mind set free. How? By the Spirit of the one that speaks to you and I. And so there are three issues that we have to deal with if we're going to experience the kind of freedom in our thoughts that we're designed to experience. Number one, we have to understand this. The mind is the main battleground of good and evil. And our enemy has chosen a battlefield that isn't like any other battlefield. And it's the battlefield of the mind. That's his choice. He's coming to you. He's coming to me every day, amen, to communicate with you and I. And he's always going to be questioning whether or not you're okay with God, whether or not you deserve God in your life, whether or not God cares for you. And his whole goal is to tear down anything about truth that he can between you and God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, and I'm not talking about this stuff you can pinch. Amen. I'm talking about we have a soul. We have a will. That's flesh. Your will is your flesh. For though we walk with our own will, our own mental emotion, we do not war according to our will. Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are these strongholds? We're going to find that out today for sure. Casting down arguments. That's how a stronghold is established. Arguments. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the war that we fight is against thoughts that belittle God speaking to us. Thoughts, amen, that belittle the love of God for us and his kingdom in our hearts. That's the battle that everyone's dealing with. Any thought we don't take captive, that thought will take you captive. Amen? It's not a question of whether or not we're going into battle or not. We're in what, amen, we're in a battle whether we like it or not. It's just the way it is. Your relationships, every one of them are in battles. Your marriage is in a battle, amen? And without God on your side, you will not win. You may coexist, but you're not going to have fun in the process. Amen. Fun, excitement, amen. Those things that represent peace and joy, amen, come from heaven and heaven only to you. And so we deal with thoughts every day, and we need God's help. So a bondage, if you're in bondage, remember this. A bondage is a house of thoughts. If you're dealing with fear, anxiety, lust, pride, depression, every bondage is a house of thought. The problem isn't the substances you want to be set free from, the chemical dependency on something that you want to be set free. It's how you think about that substance. The problem's not the circumstance in your life. It's how you think about that circumstance in your life. The problem is not your past. It's how you think about your past. And the enemy knows this. And so he will get fear if he can get you thinking about anything that you've been involved in that equals evil or something that don't measure up to enough level of good. He'll get you thinking about to bring your identity down in light of how God thinks in your heart. Got to get this. Paul challenges the believers in Corinth to take their thoughts captive, meaning simply in the Greek, take every thought at spear point. And you hold it there, and you got it at spear point. You're deciding whether or not this is from heaven or hell. And you hold it there until you make a decision, because it's your choice whether or not you're going to give that thought any time or not. Rogue thoughts aren't allowed when living free. Not okay. It's when our spirit is in fellowship with God's spirit that every thought is brought to spear point. Now, this is important for every one of us here. You're not, your mental capacity to quote scripture and retain scripture is not what saves you. The promise of God was the Spirit of God. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Got to get this. So you're not getting a free pass because you can quote the scripture. It's important that you hear the voice of God. Now, what God's looking for in every one of us is for our spirit that's in prison right now to our flesh, our will, flesh will, our own emotions. He wants to come and set our spirit free to have fellowship with his spirit. And the moment our spirit is set free to have fellowship with his spirit, we're able to take our will, amen, and swap it out. Not my will, but thy will be done, right? And so in having fellowship with God, spirit to spirit, our soul becomes subject to the will of God. And our soul now, amen, can prosper. It cannot prosper being in lead. And then our body will follow. Is there anybody getting it? Anybody want your body to respond to God's will? I mean, God wants you blessed more than you want to be blessed. He wants you healed more than you want to be healed. He's waiting on you to make that decision to have fellowship with His Spirit, amen, and bring your soul subject to the Spirit so that God's will can be done. And it's not God's will for any, amen, disease, any frustration, any anxiety, anything that's contrary to God. He wants that out. And it does. He does that through His Spirit. And so the strongholds, the arguments in our lives exist only because the devil has introduced thoughts to us that are not consistent with truth. This is how we're taken captive. Every one of us have been involved in captivity that way. We've all been subject to this. A stronghold in my personal life was a fear of rejection as a young lad. Amen. I tried to go through speech class and failed. I just could not get up in front of people and talk. Now, I could do one-on-one, but this, you know, when it got past one-on-one, it was like, okay, I'm getting nervous now. And so when I got into a class where I was supposed to speak in front of people, I just could not do that. And it took me meeting God, amen, so that God could change my spirit, change my way of thinking. And when I begin to fellowship with God by being filled with the Spirit of God, my spirit come into fellowship with His Spirit, and I was able to hear the voice of God. He began to talk to Him about how He's seen me. And when I began to consider the fact, you really see me that way, Lord? And then it wasn't long, I started agreeing with Him, okay, I'm not that, I'm this. Amen. I'm not that. I'm not a sinner. I'm a son of God. I'm not, amen, a failure. I'm a child of God. And the more I agreed with that, the more people I could stand in front of. And before long, I was in homes doing Bible studies. And next thing you know, there was 30 and 40 people coming to Bible studies. And now today, I'm able to stand before you because God set me free. So don't forget this. A bondage is a house of thoughts, a stronghold, an argument, a rogue thought that has to be put out. You've got to decide as a believer, I'm casting that out from me. Solving spiritual problems with flesh is impossible. Many try to fight the wrong enemy with the wrong weapon. This is why many believers are losing the battle. We decide what we think about everything. God does not decide for us. And Satan doesn't decide for us. Every one of us decide what thoughts we're going to let get into our spirit, into our mind. To be mentally free, I must understand that my mind is the battlefield that Satan is fighting on. To win and be victorious, I must make Jesus the Lord of my thoughts. Something that'll help you here James 4 and 7. This is important. The first thing that we all should do if we're going to have Him Lord as our thoughts is submit to God. And the moment I submit to God, James 4 and 7, it's in Scripture, then you're able to resist the devil. Now, some of us are trying to be smart enough to resist the devil. We're trying to quote a lot of scriptures to resist the devil. Now, don't stop quoting scripture as long as you're listening to what God has to say about that scripture and it's in context. Hello? First thing we do is submit to God in spirit. Truth always follows. Hello? Then we're able to resist the devil, and once that happens, he will flee from us. You're a spirit being. And your spirit being is within the parameters of a body that belongs to God. Get into fellowship in the Spirit. I'm submitted to Christ. This is when I'm submitted to Him. When He decides what thoughts can stay in my mind. And how does God decide that? Well, no, you just got through telling me, Pastor, I can't make that decision. This is what I'm saying, is when I begin to listen to the voice of God, I may not understand what God's saying, but I make a conscious decision that God's decision is my decision. That's when I'm submitted, amen, to God. That's when my thoughts have been made captive and obedient to Him. Amen. Second issue that we've got to deal with when we're experiencing, or if we're going to experience freedom in our thoughts, is that we must understand, number two, the Word of God as a spiritual weapon. The Word of God is a spiritual weapon. Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the armor. Oh, Pastor, you're talking about something we're not used to here. I don't understand that. Get this, you know, if you go to the battle, even today, if you go into warfare, you got to be armed for warfare, right? So Paul is using a Roman soldier to depict how we're to put on the right kind of thought process. And notice how he says, for we do not war against or wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickednesses in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Come on, there's a thought. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And everybody remember this. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, that's all that's in the world. That's the fiery darts. The enemy's come after you. He wants you to please your soul, not in be in fellowship with God in your spirit. He's after your soul. He's after to manipulate your mind. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. So Paul is telling us to be strong in the Lord. He does not say be strong in ourselves. Be strong in the Lord. Don't try to be strong in yourself. How are we to be strong in the Lord? By putting on the whole armor of God. The analogy is the soldier here. And so every element of the armor of God is truth. Every element. Everything Paul tells us to put on is a thought. It has to do with our thinking process, and there's six of them here. Number one, gird your loins. Gird your loins. That's where they put that belt where the soldier would hang his sword. That's the area of reproduction and elimination. Amen. In our lives, based on the word of God, we will either produce truth and eliminate error, or we won't follow God and we will produce error and eliminate truth. You're going to do one or the other. You got to make a decision. And if it's about Christ, the hope of glory in our life, we produce truth and we eliminate error. When it's about me, I produce error and eliminate truth. And you can go to church and do that, but you can't be the church and do that. This is the basis of how we're to reproduce truth and eliminate error. In John 10, 25, Jesus is the one teaching here. Notice how he says it. I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep. They won't, the reason they don't believe, they won't listen to him. Verse 27, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. Verse 28, I will give them eternal life. If you'll listen to my voice, you get eternal life. You'll never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch you out of my hands. The enemy cannot get to you if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now that's Jesus' teaching. And since he don't change, I submit to you today, if you're going to win, it's because you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that element in our life, at work in our spirit, when we're in fellowship with it, is what takes us from one glory to the next. It changes us into our true identity. Second thing that we put on in thought is the breastplate of righteousness. If you're looking to have a kill shot in war, you want to go after the heart, right? The devil is after your heart. Why the heart? Because that's where the kingdom of God and his seats is. That's where he's able to be the King of Kings and work from you, doing what he does best as the King of Kings. Amen. He wants to be Lord in your life to reveal your identity as sons in the earth. And so the enemy comes after your joy. He comes after your faith. And faith comes by hearing. Not Pastor Lowe. hearing what the Spirit is saying to you. That's how faith comes. He's after anything God's ever said to you, and he's questioning it. Did God say? And he does this through condemnation, trying to get you to remember where your folly is and your past, because he wants you to think that's your identity. But God put blood on you. He shed his blood on your behalf. He does not see you that way. He sees you as blood bought. He sees you as his children. He purchased you with no regrets. And we will make mistake after mistake, and his mercies are new every morning because he's after us. He's waiting on us to make a conscious decision. You know what, Lord? I'm going to agree with you today on what you say about me. I declare that. I proclaim that. I stand on that. Fill me with your Spirit and fire. Burn it out of me, Lord. The blessed prayer of righteousness says this about us. It's not our righteousness, it's his. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. The blood of Jesus is the strongest cleansing agent in the universe. And when his blood touches sin, amen, sin is gone forever. So you get to put Satan's condemnation as spear point of truth and remind him every day that when he comes talking to you about your past, you're going to remind him of the blood of Jesus Christ and who you truly are in Christ. I'm not that. I'm this. It will change your life. Thirdly, we put on the helmet of salvation, the mind of Christ. This means I have saved thoughts. My mind is protected, amen, from the kind of thinking, amen, that the enemy is trying to get me to walk in. And I encourage you right now, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. You know, one of the most powerful scriptures in the book is where the Lord, where Paul is writing to the churches, and he lets them know, he says, be more concerned about the needs of others than yourself. This is the mind of Christ. Remember this. When you think about you first, you don't have his mind. But when you think about him first, and you let him have fellowship with your spirit, the first thing he's going to talk to you about is someone else that he wants you to love. And when you love them, amen, when you let him love through you and touch their life, you get love back. I'm just telling you, you want to be blessed? You let God touch your spirit and you bless someone else, and blessings will come to you in waves. Amen. Know this. I can't be in it for me. I'm in it for him because he got in it for me. Now I can go love on somebody. And when I love on somebody, I'm loving on him. When he gets loved like he deserves to be loved, I get waves of love back in return. Put on the mind of Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation. Then fourthly, be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A Roman soldier had cleats on. He could fight uphill and gain ground. He could fight an enemy treading uphill. In other words, my life is not about making money, pleasing myself. My life isn't about fame and fortune. My life is about Christ and glorifying God who saves me and gives me life. My life is about carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone else in need. That's what your life is about. Satan wants you to take off of your feet. Amen. He wants you to take those shoes off. He don't want you to be prepared. He wants you to go into this world, amen, for money and pleasure. But God wants us to prepare ourselves to go into this world as his followers, demonstrating and building healthy relationships. Fifthly, we take up the shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith was not no little shield here. It was a full body shield. That's what Paul was talking about, meaning that we're listening to the active living word of God, and we have faith in what God is speaking into us, into his righteousness, into our salvation. And we're holding passionately this good news message, and we're giving it to everybody. We believe it. We're shielded with faith. There's nothing else to go for. But the last way we put on thoughts is that we take up the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Jesus was attacked by Satan in the wilderness during his time of, man, spending fasting and prayer. And the enemy came to him trying to slip him up. But Jesus uses a living and on-time word to defuse Satan and his attempt to make him fall. And so the sword of the Spirit becomes to every one of us unprecedented in its warfare potential. What you can do with an on-time word. And what the enemy can do to get you to give something out of the Scriptures that's not on time will destroy. So as followers of Christ, we're commanded to put on and arm ourselves with truth. Every thought is measured by truth. Every thought. The way we think and listen, amen, to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, is that's how we measure. When our thoughts are right, the enemy cannot stand. And so Hebrews 4 and 12 says this, it says it clearly. He said, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner," come on, "of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who must give an account." People are reading your life every day. What are they seeing? What source are you drawing from in your thought life? What makes you tick? There should be some evidence, and that evidence is always salty. It's always light that pierces the darkness. It's the answers, amen, that God wants them to have, because your spirit and his spirit is in fellowship. So I'll close with this last thought. The third issue that we need to deal with if we want to experience freedom in our thoughts is to understand that biblical meditation as spiritual warfare. Biblical meditation as spiritual warfare. I'm challenging you today because there's ideas on what biblical meditation looks like from lots of Christians. But if we'll just take a moment and consider what God has to say about it, amen, you're going to look at it differently before you leave today. Is that okay? Two things that happen when you use biblical meditation correctly. Amen. The promises of God are realized. Number one. Number two, the process of spiritual warfare becomes practical. Amen. The promises of God become realized. And then the process of spiritual warfare becomes very practical. It's not spooky. It's not weird. Amen. It's just like Jesus. Everybody likes being around Jesus. And you get around Jesus, devils are running. But it's not weird. It's not spooky. You get around Jesus, the blind eyes are opening. Amen. Miracles are happening. He's given a word that's on time. Amen. And people just can't get away from him. They can hang around him for 3 days in a row without food. And he'll have to, you know, cause another miracle to happen because they're getting weak in their body. But they love being around him, right? Biblical meditation is a wonderful, amen, opportunity to do the right kind of spiritual warfare. Psalms 1 and 1. Notice this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. He ain't talking junk. He ain't receiving any kind of bad thoughts. Nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, or in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, but whatever he does shall prosper. What a wonderful promise, ladies and gentlemen, that if we meditate on what we know God is speaking to us and the Scriptures align with it, everything in our life will prosper. It's not just Scripture based. It's actually you're hearing the voice of God and the Scripture supports it. When you read the Scriptures, you now hear what they're saying. Hallelujah. This is the easiest thing that we can do, is to meditate on what God speaks into our spirit, aligned with Scriptures, and all of a sudden the most pleasant and peaceful life that anyone can live. And all we ever say is like Jesus said. He was our example, right? Everybody agree Jesus came to be our example? He said, "I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do what I see my Father do." And he was a demonstration of what the kingdom was in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. The word meditation or meditate means to ruminate, to ponder, to think over, to mull something over, to reflect. Sheep have five stomachs. Isn't that interesting? And we're sheep of his pasture. Come on. Anybody a sheep of his pasture? You got five stomachs in the spirit. And the point of that is sheep, they swallow and they regurgitate it. And then they chew and then they swallow and they regurgitate. And then they chew it and swallow and regurgitate until, amen, it is purified and ready to digest. Hello? This is what's happening when we meditate on God's word. It's how Paul says we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. What are you talking about? They didn't even have the Bible we had then when he wrote that. That was a letter to the church. What's he talking about? What is he talking about? He's talking about you're a sheep. You can hear the voice of God. Amen. When you hear God speak, regurgitate it. Amen. Swallow it again. Regurgitate it until you get it. Oh, yeah, now it's time to walk. It's time to follow what God's saying. Spiritual meditation is simply listening to the voice of God aligned with Scripture, and you bring it back up to remembrance during the days that are many times we're challenged by the enemy. We're tempted to do what we shouldn't do. But as we keep bringing it back up when the enemy shows up, what happens is God's showing us how powerful that is, and it changes us into his image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. What's that saying, Pastor? Give me something better. Give me something simpler. Simple, ladies and gentlemen. Every time the Spirit of God comes to you, he's going to talk to you. He loves talking to you and I. He designed us to walk with his voice. God's not silent. The problem is we're not believing. God's not talking. Yeah, he's talking. It's just you're not following the right voice. And we want to think our religious idea of what equals good versus evil is that I'm a believer. I got good figured out. No, you don't. No, if you're not hearing the voice of God, it's because you're not following him. God is speaking. And every time he speaks, he wants us to take it and muse on it. The reason sometimes we get in trouble is we don't believe. Anybody like being in trouble? Let me encourage you. This is the best advice you can get. I'm fit to give you God said. You ready? Next time you get in trouble, this is what God says. Go back and do the last thing he told you to do. Pastor, why you have to be so pointless? Hear me. If you say you believe, what is it that you're supposed to be believing? What he says in your spirit. And what he says in your spirit is no different than he says the rest of his body. Hello. He may say it uniquely different than you, but it's the same thing. And clarity comes when we get together and we speak often one to the other about what God's speaking to our spirit. Guess what? We shall know our God and do great exploits. Why? Because we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and the Scripture will always back it up. Biblical meditation is spiritual warfare. Bring it up when the enemy shows up. In the computer world, there's hardware and there's software. The hardware is the actual computer itself, the machine. And then you have, amen, the program. Our brain is the hardware. The problem isn't our brain. It's the software. It's infected. And we were all born infected with software that didn't come from heaven. And our program is flawed. Is anybody getting this? The reason why the Scripture says that when we need to meditate on the Word of God, that in everything that we do will prosper, is because the voice of God is the software that our brain was meant to run on. The enemy come to steal and to manipulate from Adam. He come to get that software. He come to steal away from Adam his ability to walk with the voice of God so that he could infect him. It's the voice of God that reprograms our brain. It reprograms our thinking. The voice of God reprograms our heart. Meditating on the voice of God is literally downloading the correct software that we're intended to run on. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the voice of God has a built-in virus removal. If you believe, you shall cast out devils. And anything that exalts itself above God, bringing every thought into captivity at spear point. This is the correct way that we are to handle the word of Scripture, amen, and the voice of God. Do you know that you can actually open the Bible to a scripture that matches the issue and the challenge that you're going through right now? And when you do that, God will meet you there and he will speak to you about that scripture. And while he's speaking to you about that scripture, it's reprogramming your thinking. It's erasing thoughts that aren't in line with his voice to you. Is this okay? You see how powerful it can be when you use scripture and the written word correctly? Let me give you an example. If you're dealing with condemnation, go to Romans 8 and 1. And you'll read in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation in them that are in Christ, right? What's happening here, that verse, if you'll pause for a minute when you're dealing with condemnation, it'll jump start your hearing. It'll help you hear what God has to say to you about your issue presently. That's what that scripture will do. God's not saying, just keep quoting that scripture. Okay, you can quote it, but listen. What's the Lord have to say about it? If somebody's dealing with fear, you can go to 2 Timothy 1 and 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. What does that do? That jump start your ability to hear what God has to say about it. Four different times of the day, you're going to be under attack. Are y'all ready for this? And this is where I'm closing with this thought. Deuteronomy 6 and 6. These are the four different times of day that everybody comes under attack by the enemy. But the perfect scenario for you and Jesus to have fellowship. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. There you go. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them down on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. These four meditative times during the days. When you go to bed, get ready. The enemy wants to attack you. He wants to be in your thoughts when you go to bed. That's why when you go to bed, you need to say, okay, Lord, I need you to take over my heart. I need you to give me what I need tonight. Talk to me in dreams and visions. Amen. I'm open to you. Let me on board, Lord. And not only then, but when you get up, the enemy wants to have the first part of your day. But God wants the first part of your day. Isn't that where the enemy come to get Adam? At the first part of the day, at the cool of the day, he come when Adam should be walking with the voice of God, and the enemy say, did God say? So we've got it. Bedtime, when you get up, when you sit around. When you get alone, when you're sitting around, the enemy wants to come talk to you. But it's the best time for you and Daddy to talk. Amen? It's the best time for you to consider what he has to say. And then when you're traveling. You got a trip to go, and the enemy loves it when we go traveling by ourselves. Right? He enjoys strategically attacking at these times. Worship is when we bring what God has spoken us back up to the enemy. That's when he's resisted. When the enemy comes to me the first part of the day, devil, I ain't got time for you. I got to talk to Daddy. I ain't got time for your negative thoughts. And I'm going to just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when you get up and you're feeling bad and you're thinking negatively, you aren't meeting with God first. You need to shift. You need to make a conscious decision. I'm not starting my day off thinking bad thoughts and why this happened and why that happened and why that shouldn't happen and why they did this and why they did that. Stop it. Cast all of that down. Realign and make a conscious decision. This is the day the Lord hath made. Amen. God's got good things in store. He's got a plan. You have to make a choice. I'm going to give him the first part of the day. We cannot take a thought out of our mind. We can only replace that thought in our mind with a more powerful thought. Did y'all get that? Have y'all ever tried to take thoughts out of your mind? It's like somebody starts humming a tune and next thing you can't get that tune out of your mind. Like, my God, why am I thinking? Why am I? I'm in rhythm with that thing now. Or if I told you, stop thinking about that pink Cadillac outside in the parking lot. All of a sudden, your mind's going, pink Cadillac. Stop thinking about that pink Cadillac. And you're just trying to get that pink Cadillac. It's hard to just take that thought out. What about that purple pig? Purple pig, my goodness, get that. Stop thinking about that purple pig. When the devil comes with fear, when the enemy comes with depression, that thought is powerful. When we battle with fear and depression with our thoughts, when we just wake up in the morning, all it does is wear us out. Get lonely, get depressed, get full of anxiety. You don't feel like jumping up and doing anything. You feel wore out. But if I've hidden the word of the Lord in my heart, guess what? I won't sin against him. I won't resist him. Instead, I'll submit to him. Amen. And his word and the enemy, I can resist him and he will flee. That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. And that's how God's calling us to meditate on his word. I filled my spirit with his living word so that I can bring it up at the appropriate time. This is walking in the spirit of truth. Amen. And we are gatekeepers of our mind. Now, if you hide the word in your heart, you're just moments away from freedom, from depression. You're moments away from having dominion over that spirit of suicide, low self-esteem, fear, lust. You're just moments away if you'll just hide the word in your heart. The battleground is the mind, ladies and gentlemen. The word of God is the weapon, and meditating on the word of God is the process. Mark that down in your spirit. Don't forget that. And with me saying that right now, I'm asking you, as we close this thing out, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you about this message?